I would like to echo her thoughts. You are not here by accident this morning. You're here for a reason. God has got you here for a purpose and a reason this morning. I don't know what it may be, but you are here for that reason. And you know what? God knows, and praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord. You know, how many of you went to the parade over in Ripley for the 4th of July parade? A lot of you was over there. You know, there was I was over there, and thank God. You know, enjoyed all the festivities and stuff. Seen all the parade floats. You know, we seen the candidates that were running for senator. We seen them over there. We seen the commissioners that were running, and all the political people for running over there. Did you realize, though? Did you realize that we had a candidate for president of the United States that went down through there also on a float? Did you all see that? Did anybody see that? It was in the McDonald's float. It was Ronald, is who it was. Oh, I know, that's a bad joke. I understand that. Very bad joke. But you know what? I am so thankful. I'm so thankful that the good Lord has given us the opportunity to celebrate this country's birthday. Amen? I am so thankful for that. We live in one of the greatest countries on this earth, if not the greatest country that this world has probably ever produced, as far as I'm concerned. But you know what? That's why I want to talk to you a little bit about something this morning that is near and dear to my heart. I call it Flames That Threaten America is what I call it. What got me thinking about this, of course, we understand what happened to Jay and Brandy's house up here. It burned down. I got to thinking about that, and I got into some scripture, and the one thing led to another, and God gave me this sermon here, and I want to preach this over in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, if you want to turn there. I'm going to be backing through the 9th chapter there a little bit, but the ones I'm going to focus on right now are the 18th through the 21st verse. Isaiah 9, 18 through 21. For wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Though the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire, no man shall spare his brother. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied, and they shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh and Ephraim and Ephraim and Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah, for all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that you would give us a message this morning, Lord. I pray for that. Lord, I ask you, Father, to touch the hearts that are here this morning, Lord. And I pray, Father, that what the message goes out will touch them in a way to be pleasing unto you. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. How many of you have ever been around a fire that's been raging uncontrollably? Has anybody ever been around a fire that's been that way? You raise your hand if you want to, if you've been around one. I see there's a few of you in here. I can recall two incidents in my life that I have been around a fire that done that. I remember one time when I was about 12 or 13 years of age. Why I remember this in particular is because it was an Easter weekend where there was some brush up behind the house where Mom had lived, and my grandmother was still alive at the time. So he takes and he lights this brush, and before I know it, and before he knows it, whew, it's sagebrush, and I'm going to tell you what, it's gone. So here are all my aunts and everybody come. We finally get it out. But I'll tell you what, there for a minute, I thought it was going to burn everything up on that hillside and go on through. I thought that. And so we finally got that out. But you know what? I also remember another time whenever we lived at Mineral Wells. Now, let's give you two instances of it. And I was going to work one night on midnight, and there was a Sunoco gas station out there that had caught on fire. And I was driving by it. Mineral Wells is where all the gas stations are in there. One of them sat there where there's a car lot there now. There used to be a Sunoco gas station that sat there. Anyway, that thing was burning, and I drove by it, and I could feel the heat through the car windows. You could just see it. I mean, it's just enormous. And it was burning out of control. They were there with the fire trucks. There's nothing they could do to that gas station, nothing to save it. But I can remember those two incidents right there. I can remember how fire can get so out of control in such a quick instance, in such an instance, they could burn and destroy such things. And we also read the stories out west of all the forest fires out there and how the people have lost their lives, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm getting to a point with all this, and just bear with me on it. You know what? In the Bible, we find wickedness compared to a fire, do we not? We see that. We understand it, what Isaiah is using here to try to explain what was going on here. You know what? The reason I use this text this morning is because we celebrated Independence Day just recently. The 4th of July, we celebrated it. And you know what? I wonder how much longer, in my own mind and in my heart and spirit, I wonder how much longer that we will be able to celebrate our independence as a nation because of what's going on in this country. I just wonder how much longer we'll be able to do it. You think, well, here we go, another sermon about what's wrong with this country. Listen to me, folks. I want you to understand something. We still live in the greatest country in this earth. But listen, we have got to realize that we need to keep and get ourselves right with God and stay there, or it will not be long before what's going on is going to take place. And brothers and sisters, it may not be too much longer. Isaiah witnessed the corruption, and he witnessed all kinds of things that were going on with the people, the children of Israel. He witnessed. He had seen sinful pride. He had seen it take a hold of this great people of Israel. He's seen it take a hold of them. You know what? He witnessed her downfall and described what he saw as this way. He said he saw it like burning like a fire. That's what he saw. I believe that the same flames which destroyed Israel, brothers, are flickering not only in the background in this country, but I believe they're also in the forefront in this country also. I believe it. I believe it wholeheartedly. They're right there. Let's examine God's Word. And maybe when we examine it, I want us to use a simple outline this morning. Whenever I'm talking about this, whenever I look at God's Word, I want to examine four conditions. Four conditions that were described when I read to you here this morning, you know what? That were present when God judged the children of Israel, and I believe they are present and could be almost to the point today where God is judging this country today. Amen? Not only do I believe these conditions were present then, I also believe that they're very present in America today. The first one is the condition of pride, folks. People filled with pride. I understand as Americans, we have pride in being Americans. I understand that. But there's a right sense of pride that we need to have about this country. There's a right sense of it, folks. You know what? In verses 9 and 10, it says, the people say in pride and arrogance of heart. Now listen, back up in that verse, in that chapter 9, listen to this in verse 9 and 10. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim, that the inhabitants of Samaria and say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen, but we will build with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedar. Folks, first, they were ignoring everything that was happening to these people here that we talked about here in Isaiah 9 were ignoring everything that was happening to them. God's judgment was coming upon them. And what they were talking about here was they were saying in themselves, you know what? Listen, the bricks are falling down. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to build them with him. We're going to build them better. That's what they were saying. They were saying that the sycamores were cut down, but they were saying we will change them to cedar. What they were trying to say was, listen, folks, they were arrogantly boasting that, you know what, they would rebuild, and you know what, if they thought that they did not need God to do it. That's what they were saying. Folks, can you not see what's going on in this nation that we live in today? We're arrogantly saying, we are arrogant in what we think. Pride's one thing. But it's another thing to be so arrogant about the way that we live in this country to say, listen, you know what, God? We don't care what happens to us because as human beings, we have the knowledge, we have the power, we can rebuild this country the way that we want to. Oh, how foolish is that? How foolish is that? God's trying to tell these people right here the same thing. He tried to tell them that. And folks, listen to me. Don't think for one minute that that doesn't permeate through this country that we live in today. It does. It goes right through it. The Bible tells us about pride in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. That's what it tells me about pride. That's what it says, and it also goes over in 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. As I look at America, I see extremely proud people. I see that. We are proud of being Americans. But we are also arrogant to other people in this world that we live in sometimes. We're all so arrogant of that. In addition, we're blind. We are blind in ourselves, folks, through things that happen to us. We wonder, and we wonder aloud, showing, you know, here's what we're saying. Listen, he said, listen to what Abraham Lincoln said about 160 years ago. And don't tell me that it does not describe what's going on in this country today. We have grown in number and wealth and power as no other nation has grown. We vainly imagine in deceitfulness of our own hearts that all of these blessings were produced by our superior wisdom and virtue of our own, intoxicated with unbroken success. This is Abraham Lincoln, like I said, 160 years ago. We have become too self-sufficient, too proud to pray to the God that made all this possible. Can you say amen to that? When I read that, and when I was studying for this and I read that, I had to look it up and say, Abraham Lincoln really said that 160 years ago? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And that describes this country to a T today. Amen. A second condition that we could be found here was internal confusion. Look at verse 16 in that same. It said, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they are led of them are destroyed." Can you say, I read this stuff and I look at this, maybe you look at it different than I do. Listen, whenever it tells me there, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err," I want to tell you something. Just look around at what's leading us down the path. I'm not just talking about the president we have in there now. I'm talking about all the congressionals and the House and everywhere direction that you look at, and you look and see what's leading this country today. Folks, our message, our lessons today, our lesson this morning, whenever we were, our Bible study, our lesson we had in Corinthians this morning, you know what? Do we not see that, you know what? Everything's okay, everything goes today? Do we not see that? We're in confusion. For those who guide his people in, verse 19 also repeats the concept, and what it says there, "Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of fire. No man shall spare his brother." Folks, has anarchy not taken over? Has anarchy not taken over in this country? We have no respect. There are people who have no respect for leadership today. They have no respect for it. Listen to me. Just go into our schools. Just go into some of the things and see what respect they have for leadership today. And then tell me anarchy hasn't taken hold in this country today. It has. It has. I'm sorry. It has. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Yes. Yes, we are a great nation. Yes, we have been a great nation. But I am here to echo to you that we shall not be a great nation before too much longer if we have not already fallen down that path. Dr. James Dobson, and most of you know who he is, he said this, "We are involved in nothing less than a civil war of values." And we are. "A collision between two ways of seeing life. This is not an issue of two alternatives from which to choose, but a life and death struggle." Folks, we are in a life and death struggle in this country for the morality of this country. Amen? We are it. One value system is going to predominate, and that's what it is, and one is going to rule this country, and while I am afraid, we see which direction it's heading down today. We can see it. A third condition was ignoring the warning signs that God had given them. When conditions are ripe for a wildfire, or whenever the fire conditions are ripe, well, do you not see the signs out here? I've seen the signs where it said fire burning, you know, like a 3 or 4, whatever it may be. We see those kind of conditions all the time. If they get bad enough to where you can't, they don't want you to burn, right? They will discourage people from burning brush. They will discourage them from doing all manner of things. There are warning signs out there. Some neglect those warning signs, and whenever you neglect them, that's whenever trouble starts. When I was looking at this, now I'm going to turn into Smokey the Bear here just for a minute, if you bear with me, please. 90% of all forest fires are caused by humans. Did you know that? 90%. This is not me. This is the national statistics or whatever it is on it. 90% of them. Answer me a question. Where was the worst forest fire ever in the history of the United States? Where did it take place? Does anybody know? Huh? You're close. Believe it or not, he is close. Wisconsin. Listen to this. I didn't know it either until I started looking it up. 2,400 square miles. At one time, there was nothing but pine forest out there. 2,400 square miles. 1.5 million acres, 1.5 million acres were burned during that forest fire. 1,500 to 2,500 people lost their lives. Why? Because they did not heed the warnings. What they were doing, they were clear-cutting the land to make farmland out of it. And they piled up all the brush, and they started burning it. It was a dry summer, and it caught the place on fire, and it burnt that much right there. That's what happened. And they were ignoring the signs. And that's what I tell you today. In verse 13, it says, "For the people do not turn to him who strike them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts." I believe by and large we have gotten to the place, folks, where we totally ignore the warning signs that God has given us about our country and about what can take place. If God is consistent in his dealings with America like he is throughout the Bible, he will warn us. And he has been warning us. It didn't take long to see how he has warned us. 9/11, that should have been a great warning. And I can go on and on and on and tell you of different incidents that have happened in this country. And God has tried to warn and tried to warn. And what do people do? They consistently continue to ignore the warnings that God has given us. Consistently. The Bible's full of warnings, is it not? Matthew 24, especially verse 22, it tells us, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Those of you who are wondering when the Lord's coming back, listen to me. He's coming back, and whenever he comes back, it'll be just the right time, and it will not be too long, because the days are going to be shortened. Romans, the first chapter, verse 28 especially, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient." 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 1, "And this know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come." 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse 3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust." Tell me that God is not warning this country today. The Word of God said, the warning signs are all around us, and either we do not see them or we do not care. Am I right? Amen. Haggai, second chapter, 17 verses, says, "I smote you with blastings and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hand, yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord." How many times is God going to have to warn America? How many times will he continue to warn her before he just lets her go her own way? Which I think, you know what, that's if he hasn't already. He's tried to warn. There are some who think that they're getting away with sin. There's some who think that in corruption. But you know what Ecclesiastes 8:11 told me? It said, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Just because someone didn't get corrected right now, just because God has not come down and totally taken the United States out right now, for their sins and for what's going on, don't think that it's not coming, because it will come. It will come. The embers are smoldering, folks. A warning to our country. Listen to me. The wildfire of judgment is coming. It is coming. You may not see the flames yet, but I want to tell you something. They are there. We took a trip out west last fall. We went to Yellowstone National Park. And as you drive down into it, me and her were driving down through there. They look like miles, there were sections of it just burnt. The trees were standing there, just everything was burnt off of them, and you could look that way and you could see the trees burnt, and you could look that way, but then you go a little bit farther and the trees were okay. We got down into Yellowstone, we stopped at a little restaurant down there to eat, and we got talking to our waitress, and she told us we heard of the one last year out in Yosemite burning bad, right? Remember that one? Well, Yellowstone had a fire last year, and she said, "Yeah." She said, "They have fires every year. You don't hear about them." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Number one," she said, "whenever they burn on the ground, they don't take care of them. They let them burn. It's only when they get up into the canopies, whenever they call in the firefighters and stuff. They let them burn." She said, "That's nature's way of cleaning out the woods." And I'm thinking to myself, and she said, yeah, there's a fire burning here right now. I'm thinking to myself, really? She said, yes. And I'm thinking to myself, folks, listen to me. And I thought of this as I remember that. There is a flame burning right now in this country. The flame of judgment is burning right now. And just because you don't see God's judgment, just because it's not up in the canopy, so to say, not because you cannot see it, doesn't mean that it's not burning. Because it's burning. And folks, I want to tell you something. Let's pray to God that He puts it out before there's nothing left but ashes. Amen? A fourth condition is a progressive wickedness that's in this country. Verse 18 tells us there, and it says, for wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Do you agree with me? A big fire doesn't begin with big pieces of wood. Am I right? You know what we do? I just started a fire the other day. I'm not very good at this. Brian helped me there. We cut up a bunch of little kindling. That's how we had to get it started. We put it down. Then we had little sticks and twigs. We put it on top of that. Got it burning. Then we put the big logs up there. I want to tell you something. Small stuff can catch on fire first. And I want to tell you this. Evil influence permeates through a society. The small stuff starts that way. And as it goes through a society, that's whenever... In 1 Corinthians 5, 6, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. When a little sin starts, and it has started years and years ago, I'm telling you what, it has started to take hold and is eventually right to where we are to this day. If God allows us to go on another 15 to 20 or 25 or 30 years, however long, you will not be amazed if you could see it. But I'm going to tell you right now, you won't even believe your eyes what will take place. I think Jeff said it right. Within the next 10 years, I tell you, you won't have to worry about leaving anything to your imagination. Am I right? Galatians, it says the same thing. He repeated it to the Galatians in 5:9, a little leaven, leaving it the whole lump. Paul knew a little spark can start a huge fire. He knew it. We have let the little sparks of compromise in this country get a hold of this country, and it is taking hold, and it's starting to burn. It's starting to burn the underbrush, and eventually, folks, it is going to burn the whole thing. The only thing that keeps it today, thank you, Lord, is that His Holy Spirit is here today. Amen. To stand up against it. Amen? That's the only thing. If He comes back to take His church out of this world, and the Spirit's going out of this world, if you want to talk about burning then, you haven't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen nothing yet. It's burning out of control. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our fathers and called that enlightenment. That's what we've done. It's time for us to search out the will of God and for our lives, folks. It's time that we do that. Psalms 139:23 tells us, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And I want to say this to you, every one of you in here today. If our country survives, and I want to say this, and I realize that's a big if. You agree with me on that? If our country survives, it will be because there's an awakening. Amen? It will be because we've yielded our control of our country. We've taken the control of our country out of these godless, secular, humanistic philosophies that are out there. We've taken it out of those hands, and we've turned it back over to a God that loves us. That's what will save our country. God has told us to put these fires out. He has told us to do that. And folks, I want to tell you something. It may be burning small now. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. God's always there. You understand that? He's always there. Let's turn back to Him. You people sitting here today, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but praise God, you know what? I don't know everybody's heart here today. But I know this. We can get back to God's way. We can do that as a country. Independence. I've heard Ryan talk about it, and I know it happened to me one time also. Whenever God saved me, He gave me independence. I'm free from this world. Praise God. You know what? I'm free from all this stuff that the devil tried to pile upon me. Independence Day. Mine was in October 1974. When was yours? When was yours? They come and get a song this morning.